بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. One of the du'as that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, and all these du'as as mentioned many many times, is ta'leem for the ummah. These du'as were a lesson to us, what we should be asking for, and also the importance of what is being asked. One is a child asks something, the child will ask at his level, what he understands and what is of value to him. But what is of value to a child, then his elder brother who is 10 years elder than him, he may dismiss that as totally insignificant, because a child is asking at his level. But then what this elder brother is going to ask, the father will ask at his level. He'll be asking for something else. So each one asks according to his understanding. And there can be nobody that can come one fraction close to the understanding of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of what is worth asking, what should be begged for from Allah Ta'ala. One is in terms of Akhirat, then while we here in dunya, what we need, what we should be asking for. So we ask for also, and we only confine ourselves often to our worldly issues and our worldly needs. So our worldly needs also we ask from Allah Ta'ala. But there are these very big lessons in these du'as of what we should also be asking for of great importance. So in this particular du'a, there are five things that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked for. So in this dua is, Allahumma inni as'aluka sihhata wal iffata wal amanata wa husna al khuluq wal rida bil qadr. The first thing is, Ya Allah, I ask you for sihhat, for health. This was discussed briefly last night, the importance of good health. So sometimes it is beyond a person's control, something happens which is not in his control, or age has now come as a result of which the health has deteriorated. But in this is the lesson that a person should nevertheless care for his health. So not do things deliberately that will harm his health. Because health is a very great ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala. And it is an amanat as well. So deliberately a person should not do things that will be harmful for his health, otherwise then other things all suffer in the process, and most importantly then even his deen gets affected, meaning what he could have done, the amal that he could have engaged in, whatever other righteous deeds, whatever effort of deen, but now because of the health not being able to take that strain, so he's unable to do it. So therefore this is a very great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala which we should look after. So this is the first aspect, Allahumma inni as'aluka siha. And then the second thing is wal iffa. Ya Allah, I'm asking you to grant me and keep me chaste, bless me with chastity. Now these five aspects mentioned in this dua outwardly all seem just random aspects that have been asked for. Fine, all are very important, but it seems that there's no link between the various aspects in this dua, whereas everything is very, very closely linked. So now the first aspect was health. Among the things that destroy the health is the lack of iffat. When the chastity is not maintained, then the person's health is the first or among the first things that get affected very seriously. So he wants good health, obviously many things have to be taken care of, but one very important aspect is iffat. The person looks after his iffat, inshallah his sihat will also be protected. So iffat in all its dimensions. Iffat of the eyes. Because the iffat of the eyes will inshallah become a means of the iffat of the rest of the body. Because the eyes directly impact on the heart. One is in the spiritual sense, that's very obvious, that if the eyes are misused, then the impact is on the heart. The heart becomes engulfed in darkness. The heart is then negatively inclined to all kinds of evil and vice. But even physically, when a person looks at evil, filth, and as a result now his heart is impacted, the functioning of the heart is also affected. It starts making the heart function at a pace that it's not normal. But then over time, takes an impact. So now, let alone the most serious matter is the spiritual harm that has come, but even physically this harms him. People get caught up in all kinds of haram relationships. That haram relationship very often takes a major toll on their health as well. Mentally, emotionally, physically as well. Because every now and again they are in this anxious state. Hope nothing gets uncovered. I hope my movements were not detected. I hope this didn't happen. And now, that is only one part of it. And the issue is that sin has never ever brought any rahat and comfort to anybody. That's the reality of it. It has only brought anxiety. It is just the deception for that moment that a person gets fooled into thinking that he is going to find some enjoyment and some comfort. But for that 1% comfort, there's 99.1% deception of comfort. There's 99% guarantee of misery. So this is, then the person's sleep is affected, he can't fall asleep. So now that impacts on the whole day afterwards. It impacts on his mental health, because if he's sleep deprived, one day, 2 days he can carry on, but that sleep deprivation over time starts affecting his mental health. So it's not just confined to any one thing, there's a whole host of issues that come into play. So outwardly this is just one aspect asked in the Hadith Sharif, in the dua, but how deep it is. And this is only Kalam and Nubuwat, this is the mu'jiza. All these du'as of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are mu'jizat. It's only a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala can ask in this manner. And this is Sayyidul Anbiya wa Rusul, the greatest of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. His words, his asking, what can compare to it? So the first aspect was sihat, ya Allah grant me good health, and then grant me iffat, chastity, purity in my life. And this is a very, very fundamental thing to keep asking. And together with asking, like we ask for health, then we have to save ourselves from the issues that harm the health also. So likewise, things that now trap us into harming this iffat, we have to stay far away from that too. And then the next thing is asked for is wal amanata. Allahumma inni as'aluka sihhata wal iffa wal amana. Allah grant me amanat, trustworthiness. Now where's the link? So trustworthiness is obviously not confined to material things, a very broad concept in deen. Amanat, even in the Hadith Sharif, al-majalisu bil amana. The gathering is an amanat, where it is obvious that what was discussed now, 2-3 people are sitting there and something was discussed, and it is obvious this particular discussion was not meant for anybody else. So then that becomes amanat. It's not necessary for somebody to say, look, this is not meant for anybody else, when it's obvious, it's clear cut that this conversation, this discussion is a private discussion, is not meant to take anywhere else. That is amanat. And to now take it elsewhere, to convey it, to mention it to somebody else, that is breaching this trust, breaking this amanat, which is a major problem, very serious matter. So Allahumma inni as'aluka sihhata wal iffata wal amana. Amana, trustworthiness. So all these limbs that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us, this too is amanat from Allah Ta'ala. And now the dua that was asked was for iffat, which means that we protect all our limbs from haram. So that person will be conscious about protecting himself from haram who is conscious about all this being amanat from Allah Ta'ala. That my tongue is amanat, can't misuse it and abuse it. Eyes is amanat, it's Allah Ta'ala's amanat. The heart is an amanat from Allah Ta'ala. It must be kept clean, it must be kept filled with Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat. And the involuntary thoughts that come from the side of shaitan, the involuntary whispers of shaitan, that a person is not accountable for, because something that is involuntary, is not in his control. But what is in his control is not to entertain it, but to now actively turn his mind and heart towards something else. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. People of taqwa also. The person who is close to Allah Ta'ala, he is a person of taqwa. But this mas min ash-shaytan can happen to him and happens to him too. إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. This mas, this whispers of shaitan. This will happen even to the muttaqeen. But this is now the test and the challenge. That when the mas of shaitan and this whisper of shaitan comes, tazakkaru, they immediately turn their attention towards Allah Ta'ala. Tazakkaru, they remember what? So tazakkaru iqab Allah. They remember the punishment from Allah Ta'ala. If I end up committing this haram, this wrong, Allah Ta'ala has full qudrat. Punishment of Allah comes on me, what's going to be my case? Allah blinds me in this moment, then what? And one is the eyes getting blind. So that we all understand, very serious. But sometimes the eyes don't get blind, but as a result of the sin, the heart gets blind. And this is what Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. The eyes, sometimes the eyes can see very well, but the heart became blind. And as a result of the heart getting blind, it can't discern between right and wrong. It can see it's glaring in front that this is such a disaster that will come as a result of this. But the heart is blind. Like a blind person now, he's putting his hand to hold out a snake. Because he's blind, he doesn't know it's a stick or a snake. He can't see it. So here this is glaring in front of a person, but the heart is blind. Due to the abundance of sin. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. That whatever actions were being done, the wrongful actions, this has resulted in the heart getting covered in rust. So now when the person is conscious of amanat, he has amanat in his life, and not just confined to some material things only, in its broad concept, well, amanat. Now he'll be conscious about caring for these amanats of Allah Ta'ala. That I'll be answerable for this. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. So وَالْأَمَانَةَ. And then وَحُسْنَ الْخُلُقِ. حُسْنَ الْخُلُقِ. Ya Allah, grant me good akhlaq. Bless me with good character. This is something to keep asking. Because this, so much of it is all hinged on good akhlaq in terms of the good of dunya also, and the good of akhirat. The perfection of iman is hinged on good akhlaq. أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. That everything else has to be in place, but you'll reach the perfection of iman, it won't happen without good akhlaq. So now again the link, that if the person has good akhlaq, then amanat is part of akhlaq. Now he has developed his akhlaq, he'll develop amanat. So now this good akhlaq, and good akhlaq is not what we understand to be akhlaq sometimes, that being polite, adopting good etiquette, that is part of a mu'min's nature, that he will be polite, he'll have good etiquettes, it's part of a mu'min's nature. Akhlaq is a very, very broad concept which is related to the heart. That politeness, etc., these are external things. And if there's good akhlaq in the heart, then this will be automatically part of a person. That he will have good etiquettes. He will be polite, he will be time, he'll speak correctly. That will automatically happen. But that akhlaq is within him, which will manifest itself in all his actions and deeds and words. That akhlaq that in the heart, the sabr, the shukr, the akhlaq that is in his heart, the tawazu and humility, which is a condition of his heart. But that condition of his heart now will manifest itself in how he speaks, how he meets somebody, how he reacts to situations. It's a tawazu that will now manifest itself. And if that's missing, that akhlaq is not there, that good character is not there, then in the absence of that tawazu there will be takabbur. Then that will manifest itself. In what kind of words come out of the mouth suddenly, what kind of actions are suddenly coming out of this person, how he's just getting completely flared up, and what is his behavior at that time. Now all that will manifest of what is inside. So now when there's good akhlaq, then this amanat will also be alive, because this is part of good akhlaq. And then the last aspect in this dua is wa rida bil qadr. Allah grant me the ability to be pleased on your decree. Fill my heart with this condition that I am forever pleased with your decree. Rada bil qada. Rada bil qada, this doesn't mean that a person now will no more remain an insan. He will feel no pain, he'll feel no grief, he won't feel any sorrow, he'll be some other makhluk now. Oh, he's insan. Insan is insan, and insan has all these emotions with him, all these feelings are part of this insan. But a person who has raza bil qada, he'll never ever have any complaint about any decree of Allah Ta'ala. That he'll make sabr, he'll make dua, he'll beg Allah Ta'ala's help, he'll do what is in his capacity to ease his situation, but he will be totally in complete submission to Allah Ta'ala. That I cannot fathom the wisdom and the hikmah of Allah Ta'ala in all his decrees. My job is to submit to Allah Ta'ala. Yes, I'll make dua, beg Allah Ta'ala for afiyat, beg Allah Ta'ala's help to remove the difficulty or the illness, whatever situation is there. Whatever Allah has blessed with some capacity to take some steps and adopt the asbab, we'll adopt the asbab. But the tawakkul and trust in Allah Ta'ala. But the heart is completely in submission to Allah Ta'ala. Rada bil qadr. This is a level even higher than ikhlas. That a person's heart is totally in submission to Allah Ta'ala. And is pleased with every decree of Allah Ta'ala. Now the person who has this raza bil qada or rida bil qadr, then for him good akhlaq is part of his nature then. Because he is not looking at the end point where something is happening from. He is looking at the reality that this was decreed by Allah Ta'ala. So then this husne akhlaq becomes very easy for him. So his nazar and his gaze is on the khaliq, not on the makhluk. When the person's gaze is on the makhluk, then everything becomes a major issue for him. And he can't overlook anything. He cannot bypass anything. And everything becomes a problem for him. But when the person's gaze is towards Khaliq, then obviously, it doesn't mean that person must just go around behaving as he wants, and then just tell everybody around him that, look, you mustn't look at me, your gaze must be elsewhere. So just can't. That is not for us. For us is how we should be taking things that are around us. But we are answerable to Allah Ta'ala, and others are answerable to Allah Ta'ala. They are also answerable to Allah Ta'ala. It doesn't mean that the rights of people can be just ignored, and hukukul ibad, there's no need for it. No, we'll be answerable for it. So that is somebody else's matter of how he conducts himself. He'll be answerable, but how we react. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anas radiallahu anhu says, for 10 years I was in the khidmat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for 10 years, which is not any ordinary small amount of time, 10 years is a long period of time. And in the 10 years, he never said oof to me once. Now he was a khadim and a young child. So in day-to-day things, there were many times things would happen which were not supposed to happen, in chores, not in things that crossed any line of deen. In day-to-day things, do this task and wasn't done right. Do this, didn't get done. And he himself says, sometimes Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would send me on some errand. I would come out, now he was a young child. The children were playing around, I got busy playing with them. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would later come out, he would see me there, he'll ask me that, did you go for what I asked you to do? So he'll say, I'm going now. He says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would smile. Now, 10 years, there was no oof. فَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍ قَدْتُ وَلَا لِشَيْءٍ صَنَعْتُهُ لِمَ صَنَعْتَهُ. I did something, meaning that something didn't go the way it should be in terms of some task, some chore. Never asked me, but why you did it like this? Something that I was told to do and I didn't do it, I wasn't taken to task for it. Now this is that Radha bil Qadr of the highest level. Now this, a fine line in all this, it doesn't mean that there was no correction of what needed to be corrected. What training needed to be done wasn't done. No, that is a separate matter. But on the spot, the reaction, how it was dealt with, how it was received, that was an akhlaq of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is a dua of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Outwardly, it's five aspects that are asked for, but each one is a complete ocean of ilm that is involved in there. We cannot even scratch the surface of it. But every dua of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has oceans of ilm in it also. And great amount of benefit for us in every sense that we start asking these duas. There are many, many duas of this nature. These are few duas that we are discussing just to understand the details in it as well to some extent. Get the message and the lesson in it. But these compilations of dua, Munajat-e-Maqbool, Al-Hizb-ul-Azam. Al-Hizb-ul-Azam is more voluminous. Munajat-e-Maqbool is much more comprehensive and shorter. Some compilation of this nature we should have as part of our ma'mool. And these compilations have been divided into seven parts, so it makes it easy for a person to recite one portion per day. So over 1 week, he'll cover a vast number of du'as of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it's not just for the sake of recitation, it's to be asked and begged for from Allah Ta'ala. And in these du'as, we are asking for all, as mentioned, these are mu'jizat. It's not humanly possible for anyone else to think about even how to ask these things. But Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked it to present it to us on the plate, that now you take it and you follow so. And you ask from Allah Ta'ala in this manner. Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq that we latch onto these du'as, as mentioned yesterday as well, that we should have some dedicated time for du'a. In that time, we ask in our own words, beg Allah Ta'ala, as much as we can. But apart from that, we take the benefit of these du'as in this manner as well. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. The ma'amulat, a'udhu billahi s-sami'il adeem min ash-shaytanir rajeem. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم والله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة والرحمن الرحيم والله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون والله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا